Coming to you from the Woodland Baptist Ministry Center, home of the Woodland Baptist Church, on May 30th, 2021, boosting your immune system.
This morning, we'd like to start a new series. Well, I'd like to start a new series. Whether you like it or not, that remains to be seen. But I wanted to talk about boosting your immune system. We certainly have, on the medical side of things, over the last year or so, dealt with a lot of issues, and on top of normal issues. And when you start talking about boosting your immune system, a lot of times people think of maybe taking more vitamin C or something that would help you combat those infections or diseases that might come your way, to strengthen them so that if they do come, your system is well equipped to beat them off and to keep you healthy. Well, we want to do the same sort of thing on a spiritual level. So when we talk about boosting your immune system, we want to talk about those things that will then help you to live your spiritual life and not be defeated in it because you are prepared. So that's where our series is going. I'd invite you to take your Bible and join me by turning to Hebrews chapter 11. And even as I say those words, many of you are going, I know what this is. Which is good. I'm glad that you do. Hebrews chapter 11, to many known as the faith chapter, and we want to talk about that aspect of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 and 6, we want to read these together, make some comment about it, and then talk about the first booster, if you will. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then down in verse 6, it says, Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I like the King James, who diligently seek him, because the idea there is to pursue something. And so we have here in the book of Hebrews, in the faith chapter, a formula, if you will, for boosting your immune system. And you know, I said, well, why would you go with the picture of an immune system? It's taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 16, and if you're, 6, verse 16, dealing with the armor of God, talking about a spiritual soldier going to battle, wearing spiritual armor, and he says, and above all, take up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the picture here is drawn from a Roman soldier who would have a shield to defend himself against fiery darts. And usually, this picture, there was two basic kinds of shields that a Roman soldier would have. One would be a little round shield for hand-to-hand fighting. But when they would fight together, they would carry a large shield. It's like a portable door, if you want to think. And they would put it down in front and then fight from behind it. Or they would join it together and make sort of a temporary movable fortress. And then they could fight and be protected. And Paul, as he's painting that picture in Ephesians 6, he says, this is a shield of faith. So the protection then is the aspect of faith. And it protects us from the fiery darts of the wicked one, the hostile attacks by the enemy of our soul. So I would think that most believers would want to be prepared, have their shield in good repair, have it well strengthened to be able to fend off attacks. Now, when I was thinking about sort of this series and getting going to it, I was thinking about skipping the topic of today. And the reason is we've talked about creation, the other word, evolution. We've talked about that before, but I go, I can't get past the fact that it's enumerated right here at the beginning. I was thinking about examples of believers down through time, which most of the chapter is dealing with. But creation, why even bring that up for the aspect of strengthening our faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we have this topic raised. And he says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In other words, God didn't start with an erector set and build the universe. He spoke it into existence out of nothing. And we have that record in Genesis. But I'm not going to turn to any passages in Genesis. The reason is we like to camp out there, and it's not a bad place to go. But I want to show you that there's other places that talk about this. One of them is the passage that Tom read for us in part out of Psalm 104. But let me show you what caught my eye and then stimulated my mind to think about these things. It's found in Romans, the first chapter. You know I couldn't wander very far. If you're new today, you don't understand the context of that statement, but I preached through Romans for a period of time. And they're snickering because it was years worth of going through Romans. Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, being futile in their thinking, foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Paul, in writing to the church there at Rome, it says, if you really want to know, everybody believes in God. Everybody believes in God. Now, some will suppress that truth in unrighteousness and say, no, 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 not me. But he says, these things are clearly seen, clearly seen. Let's back up to that first verse on your notes. Hebrews chapter 11, he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are we trying to see that we can't see? Paul tells us in Romans, the first chapter, says we need to see God and we need to see him clearly. We don't see God clearly, do we? But what God has said is he has given testimony with things that are seen so that we can believe or have faith in things that we can't see. If we say, I want to believe in God, but, you know, he's just out there, we don't know if I can believe in him or not. You know, it would be something if he would come in and introduce himself to me. But Paul says here in Romans 1, and the writer of Hebrews, I believe also Paul, talks about, you know, you don't need that because God has already given you something to look at to prove the basis for those things which you believe. Part of the problem that we have is we don't want to look at the evidence that God has given. We want to have things our way. If someone would introduce me to God, I would be happy. Well, maybe not, but God comes along and reveals his character, his nature. He tells about himself in the things that he has done. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He who comes to God must come, must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, he says, if you really want to see me, you've got to go through the door of faith. And I know I'm mixing a lot of metaphors here. We've got, I already had soldiers and medicine and now a doorway. But he says, if you want to see me clearly, I've revealed enough for you to see me clearly. And it's in what I have done. And so the very first one here, we're looking at verse 3 of Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen, that's the universe, this world around us, was not made out of things that are visible. In other words, we know that God is a creator, and we take it by faith that he spoke the world into existence. Why? Because that's what Scripture says. But that doesn't negate the fact that God has shown us his power and might. In fact, that's the testimony in Romans. He says, his invisible attributes have been clearly shown, being his eternal power and divine nature. These have been clearly perceived. In other words, every person has seen it and go, I get it. Now they may deny it after that and go, no, I really don't want to accept that. That has no place in my concept of life. But Scripture says everybody has seen it. And they proved it by putting in a little diagram in your notes. Little diagram of the water cycle. Have you ever seen the water cycle before? If you want to go on the internet and punch up water cycle, there's multiplicity of diagrams. I put one in black and white, but there's a lot prettier ones in color. But I want you to see who posted this. NASA did. I had another one. It was in color and it was put out by the government talking about the nature of this, and not by NASA necessarily. And we look at it, we go, oh, what is this water cycle? Well, if we start, we have to start somewhere. Let's start with the ocean. We have the ocean there, and the sun comes out, and the sun then helps evaporate the water up out of the ocean, and it forms into clouds, and then the breezes blow over the land, and as they get over the land, they come up against hills and mountains, and in the process, the clouds come to the place where they dump, and we see in the high mountains snowflakes and lower elevations rain there. And so we see precipitation after condensation. And then we see the water, and some of it stays stored on the mountains in the form of snow. In other places, it's rainwater goes into the rivers and into the lakes. Some of it soaks up into the ground, becomes the groundwater, and storage there, and it all makes its way back to the sea, and the cycle continues around and around and around. And NASA goes, see, this is how it works. We see it, we understand it. So my question is, how did it happen? How did that happen? Well, it's just natural things that happen. You know, as you got the sun out there, of course it's going to dry up stuff and it's going to evaporate stuff and the mountains. And I understand clouds do what clouds do, which carry rain and they drop the water. And we understand that rivers flow to the sea. It's just all natural stuff, except God says, when you look at this, know that I put it there, that I did it. And we can say, no, no, it's just natural phenomenon. But Scripture says his eternal power and divine nature. Two aspects, his eternal power. I just picked one illustration, and that is the water cycle. We could go multiple different directions and looking at creation. I spent some time this week looking at pictures of animals and sea creatures that do a great job of camouflage. Have you ever looked at some of that stuff? If you're on Facebook, go and look at my picture I posted behind the picture of me in the background there. I pictured a creature God made that's camouflaged. Okay, take a look at it when you have an opportunity. And you go, how do they do that? You ever seen an octopus or a cuttlefish or some of those that will swim along and then come up by some coral and then they will pause for a moment over that coral and pretty soon you think you're looking at another piece of coral. And they'll swim off from there and they'll go over and over here is by the sand and they'll sort of settle down over the sand and pretty soon it looks like just another patch of sand. And you go, how in the world did they do that? Oh, it's just a natural phenomenon. No, it says God's eternal power and divine nature, the characteristics of God in his creativity and his ability of skillfully forming not only the water cycle, but animals that camouflage themselves. And so what we see and what Paul is describing here, and I believe the writer of Hebrews is pointing at, he says, we need to operate by faith. We're not going to come to God unless we come by faith, taking him at his word. That's what we're talking about. Putting our trust in him. That's what we're talking about. And he says, one of the things that we have to do is believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, part of the fact of who he is a creator. And that's what we're talking about this morning. He's a creator. I'm going to give you an assignment. You ready for an assignment? Write this down. I want a 25-word essay to come back and describe your fulfillment of this assignment. Yeah, I'm not expecting to get any of those back. But anyway, I want you to take a part of creation. You pick. Stop long enough to ponder it. If you were kids, I'd have you flop down in the grass and look at the ground and the grass. But most of us don't want to get down, so we'd have to get back up again. So that's out. But if you want to walk up to a tree and look at the bark of the tree and the details there and maybe some of the bugs that are in it and all of, and the more you study and the more you look at it, the more detail there is. We walk by and we go, tree, grass, huh? And God says, you want to see what I'm like? See my power. Have you ever wondered why there is such great diversity of color in plants and such great diversity of skills and ability in animals and birds and things like that? You know, everything could be a crow. you know, and everything could be crabgrass. But it's not, is it? We got all this huge, huge creative palette. How many have ever seen a sunrise? Some of you need to get up a little earlier. How many have seen a sunset? And you go, wow, that is fantastic. We lived up on the hill, most of you know, out of town, and we were on sort of a knoll of the hill. We had glorious sunrises and glorious sunsets. One of the things we miss most about not being there anymore. But we'd be up there, and we'd watch the sun go down. And we'd go, grab the camera. No, you're too slow. It dropped behind the hills and is gone, you know. But that's all right, because a day or two later, there's another one. That's, you know, it's not a cloudy day, clear day. Boom, there it is. And we go, wow, just gorgeous. Now we can attribute it to natural phenomenon. You know, that's the way the world is. And you go, well, how in the world did the world get that way? The writer of Hebrews is saying, God put those things there so that you could see him. Put those things there so you could see him. And the more you appreciate what you see and the fact that he was the one that put them there, the more it's going to show you the power and the majesty of God. And that's going to increase your immune system spiritually. Can I trust a great and powerful God? Yeah, I think I can. I was thinking about this, and there's lots of illustrations. We talked about the wonderful world of animals and plants and those kind of things. But you know, one of my favorite subjects is when we come to talk about this, is the fact that each one of us was uniquely formed in our mother's womb, sperm and egg, a few little tiny, tiny, tiny cells. Turn into a human being, and our teeth grow in our mouth and not on top of our head. Some of you have hair on top of your head, others, you know, what can we say? And fingernails are on the back side of our fingers, not on the front side. Make it a lot more difficult to pick up things if it was all slippery. And the fact that our brain is so powerful that we can learn a skill and cause people to wonder at that skill. When I was going to college, we had a commons room where they had some game tables set up, and one of the things they had set up was ping pong. Now, I like to play ping pong, but I'm not very good at it. But there were some guys who played ping pong. I played one against them one time. It was 7-0, and I sat down again. I didn't even get my paddle on the ball majority of the time. The guy was that good. Okay? But you think about it for a moment. Just if we were playing kids ping pong, you know, bouncing easy over to the other person, they bounce it back to you, and you actually kept the rally going for 2 or 3 hits. You think about that. Think about being an engineer who had to design a system that could do that. What do? We walk over, and with our eye-hand coordination, we swing our hand around, and we grab a paddle and twist it around in our hand to get ready to go. And someone hits a ball over towards us, and our brain sees it coming, calculates the speed and trajectory, and moves our hand into position to return that ball. And I'm even just talking about not all this smooth, powerful things that a person well-trained could do. just to tap that ball back. And the other person is the same way. And they see the ball coming back to them, and they move over to get into position, get their paddle ready, and with the right amount of force, well, if it's going to go right amount of force and angle to get it back onto the table, and we can keep a rally going with a couple hits like that. And the person gets better and better at that. And you have probably seen, along with me, someone so skilled that they're wailing on this ball back and forth and hitting it with spins and everything, and being able to figure that out and get the ball back over the net. And you go, your job, if you should decide to accept it, is develop a robot that can do that. You know programming, you know robotics, you could do this, can't you? You go, it'd be mind-boggling. And then what do? We put the pedal down and go on to something else. Maybe pick up an instrument, and pretty soon we're playing a violin or a guitar or whatever. And you go, no, my program was all for ping pong. And what do we think about all that? Nothing. It's just what we can do, right? It's just human stuff. And God says, why don't you stop and ponder? Think for a moment what it would take for that to happen. And God says, and I made it so that you could do that. And if we try and downplay it and say, no, that's just how we are, as a product of evolution or whatever, we go, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. But also, part of the revelation protocol of God is that he says, I'm going to tell you so that you know. You don't have to guess. I did it. Now, we have the Genesis account, but one of my favorite things, and I've got a whole several pages of scriptures, and I've only given you a few in your notes, pages after verse, book after book that talks about God's creative work in creation. Tom was reading in Psalm 104, so I won't go back there, other than to say, O Lord, my God, you're very great. You're clothed with majesty. Certainly so. There's that divine power and his nature. But in Job 38, the Lord is questioning Job, and he goes, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined this measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? And to what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I came, when I made the clouds as a garment and the thick darkness as a swaddling band, where were you? I was there. I made these things. Jeremiah chapter 10. You've got it listed there, but I'll read it for you. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and earth shall perish from the earth and from these heavens. He has made the earth with his power, and he has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. See, there's a lot of talk about that wives' tale that's recorded in Genesis. You know, it's just a story that made up to help ignorant people try and understand where the world began, but that's not so. Over and over in Scripture, it's recorded God did this. When Paul is talking in Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, he makes this reference: God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. Colossians, the first chapter: he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. You might line out Genesis, or somebody may line out Genesis and say, that's just a fairy tale. But Scripture says, that's the truth. Even we come to the book of Revelation, we're winding down in the history of the world, still for future to us, we have this, and saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Then he finishes up with this statement, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Wow. So 4 points for building up your moon system. Are you ready? We'll just state these because we've gone over most of it already. First one, the shield of faith, as recorded in Ephesians 6, shields us or protects us from Satan's spiritual attacks. If you need your defense system built up, that's the defense system you need built up. The shield of faith, it protects us from Satan's spiritual attacks. Faith is our immune system. Faith is our immune system. Okay, number two, what we can see shows us what we can't see. What we can see shows us what we can't see. And that's God's power and divine nature. We look at the creation, we see his handiwork, and what does that do? Declares the character and the nature of our God. Places and people are God's witnesses, then. They're the ones giving testimony. The seen testify of the unseen. We're going to look in future times at different persons who put this to the test, who believed God, and we're going to learn some lessons from them. And then finally, God has revealed himself. Are you ready for this? To boost our faith. To boost our faith. He wants us to be strong in our faith. When we understand and accept his character and his nature and his power, our faith is boosted. Why? Because if we're up against something, some test, some fiery dart, some challenge to our faith, some fiery dart thrown at Satan saying, is that so? Can that possibly be? And you'd be a fool to believe that kind of stuff. It says we need a strong faith at that time. And one of the foundational elements is to say, I know that there is a God who cares about me, and look how powerful and mighty he is. And that's one of the first elements or fundamental elements to boosting our faith. And to say, I have put my trust in a God who is so powerful and mighty, he can speak this created world into existence with all of its majesty, with all of its power. with all of its intricacy, with all of the diversity of style and color and all those kind of things. Maybe I can trust him. And there lies the first of our spiritual boosts. There is a God who is worthy of our trust. There is a God who is powerful and mighty to do what he says in other areas of our life, because he has revealed himself in his creative abilities. I trust as we spend some time together, as we go through Hebrews chapter 11, maybe not getting every one that's in there, because some of you are thinking, oh no, here's another 6 years of Hebrews 11. But anyway, as we spend some time together, I trust, and my hope and desire for this series is that your spiritual life would be boosted and fortified, so that when Satan comes around, starts attacking you, you go, eh. And just lift up the shield of faith. No. Yeah, God said, no, God hasn't said that. No. And I'd rather trust him than you. So get lost, Satan. Get lost. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for these opening elements of faith boosting. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be able to, having done all, to stand, because you have empowered us to do so. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.